Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Holy Spirit, as you have worked already in our lives and in your word today, work now in the words and deeds of Jesus. And come to us and teach us what you have for us today. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, there's a phrase that's going to help us this morning because I think it really tells us the main part of what Jesus is saying to his disciples here in Luke 10. It's a phrase that comes from a pretty well-known book. It sold 25 million copies, one of the highest sellers of all time. It's a famous book by Stephen Covey. You may own it, or at least one copy, called The 7 Habits of Highly Effective People. And mark my words, you go to any thrift store and any garage sale, you will see it there. There's that many around. But there's one phrase in there that I'm sure you've heard before. I almost hesitate to use it because it's even become cliche. But one of the things buried in there, you'll be able to finish it once I say it. He says, the main thing is to keep the main thing, the main thing. Yeah, you might have heard that before. Yeah, he says, the main thing is to keep the main thing, the main thing. Seems pretty obvious. Now, I know he means that if you read the book, he means that in a corporate sense or a personal sense, but it really fits what Jesus is talking about here in Luke 10. So that's what we're going to look at. There's a lot of verses there we read. We're just going to look at the beginning and the end that kind of summarize it. But what's going on is Jesus is now on his way going south towards Jerusalem, and he's going to die and rise there, and he's sending out disciples, followers, on missionary expeditions on his way there. And so they're moving south from northern Galilee. They're moving south, and he sends out not just 12, but 72. Don't we wish we had those names listed in the scriptures, right? Well, who were they? Why don't we know more of them? It says there's 72. And by the way, if any of you are feeling studious and want to dig deeper into this, try to look up and find out why 72. Numbers are usually important in the Bible. They have many meanings. So if you're into that, look up, find out why Jesus might send 72. But that's what he sends, many of them, and he sends them out ahead of them, ahead of him into every town that he was going to go. Now, this isn't where we're going today, but I love it, so I have to say it. Jesus sends people ahead of where he is about to go. I think that's important. I think that means to us in some way, we always want to think, well, yes, Jesus goes with me, and that's very true. But I think we can know that if Jesus is sending you to some place that might be strange or you're not sure about, it's because Jesus wants to go there too. So he sends out these people ahead of him because it was everywhere that he had planned to go. So to you, that might be geography, it might be a move, it might be a physical place, but it might be a hard season of life that you're entering. And so if Jesus is sending you to a place, whether it's painful season or a new location, it's because Jesus wants to be there too. So he sends them, and then he gives them instructions saying, you know, the harvest is plentiful, workers are few, and he says, tell them the kingdom of God is coming, and gives them great power and authority to heal and to preach and power over evil spirits. And then they come back and they're all excited. Wow, we can't believe what we were able to do in your name, Jesus. And they're all excited and they come to Jesus saying, wow, you know, even the demons did what we told them in your name. We can't believe this. And then Jesus says, hold on, that's great. But don't rejoice in those things. He said, the real reason to rejoice is that your name is written in heaven. In other words, the main thing is to keep the main thing, the main thing. Now, that's not to say any of those other things are bad, but Jesus gave them the power and authority to do these powerful things, even heal illnesses and diseases and command demons and people that are suffering to help them. But Jesus says, hold on, keep the main thing the main thing. Those are good, but the real reason to rejoice is that your name is written in heaven. Don't ever forget that. But how easy is it for you and for me to take comfort in something that's not the main thing? How easy is it for us to take comfort in something else and make it our ultimate thing that we need? How easy is it for us to get distracted even by good things and by godly things because we put our hope and our trust and build our identity in something else other than the main thing? How easy is it to build our self-worth in something other than the fact that you are a child of God, baptized into the death and resurrection of Jesus? How easy is it at times to build your sense of self in maybe in the fact that your children got good grades and grew up to be successful, not in that you brought them to worship and showed them the love of their Savior Jesus? Or how easy is it to say, well, I'm successful, therefore I matter. Maybe when you've had a record sales year, or maybe when your boss is happy, your business is going well, you can rejoice in that, but what does that mean when things go bad? If you build your self-worth on a good annual review, what happens when you have a bad one? How easy is it for us to build our identity and our whole reason for living around good things like spouse and children and family and friends or career or popularity? None of those are bad. And in fact, they all are blessings directly from the hand of God, but they're not the main thing. Jesus says, the main thing is to keep the main thing the main thing. And Jesus' words were, the real reason to rejoice is that your name is written in heaven. Now, why would Jesus say that? Why would he rain on their joy parade? You know, he gave them the power to heal and to command demons and to help and to do all these things. And so they come back excited about the ministry that they've done, that Jesus sent them to do. So why would he kind of, you know, tamp that down? Why would he do that? I think because there's one thing in this life that you cannot lose. And there's one thing in this life that nobody can take away. And that is your identity and your eternity in Jesus. And you might lose everything else. We don't know. I don't know. You might lose everything else, but your identity and your eternity cannot be taken away. Christ in you cannot be taken away. You might have your house foreclosed on, and some of you have been through that. You might be laid off, or your children or relatives might not speak to you, and your family might think you're a failure, or you might suffer a devastating diagnosis, and you might say goodbye to a loved one far too soon. And you might even have to flee your home due to war or natural disaster. You could have everything taken from you in this life, but there is one thing that cannot be taken, and that is Jesus. The real reason to rejoice is that your name, is written in heaven. So this weekend, we obviously do a lot of celebrating. And if you live in city limits, you hear a lot of it till late hours of the night. And obviously for Independence Day for the United States and all sorts of celebrations about being American, and those are fine. And that's why I hear Jesus kind of speaking these words. I think Jesus would say, that's great, but still, keep the main thing the main thing. The real reason to rejoice deeply in your soul is that your name is written in heaven. You see, many of us rejoice at that being American. Some of us here rejoice at somewhere else where we were born or that we call home. And many people celebrated Canada Day. Lots of my family did a few days ago, July 1, that was Friday. Or some of you celebrate being Mexican or Chinese or wherever else. I did have a reminder of one of the blessings I wasn't aware of being an American on our trip the last 2 weeks. And as I said at the beginning, my dad and brother and I spent 2 weeks in Israel, but for two of those days, we quickly went next door to Jordan, and we'd hired a guide named Ahmed for 2 days, and we were kind of talking about papers and passports and different stuff, and I had my passport in my hand, and he kind of looked at it jealously and said, "You have a very strong passport. You can go many places easily." And I really had never thought of it that way. But simply because I was born in Michigan and hold an American passport, I can simply show up at the border of both Israel and Jordan, and they'll let you into the country. Ahmed, who lives in Jordan, right next to Israel, would have to apply for a visa and wait 30 days and go through all this stuff for many places. And so in that moment, I had the kind of reminder of the earthly blessing of just owning an American passport. And then I can hear the words of Jesus saying, hey, that's good, but don't get distracted. The real reason to rejoice in your heart and soul is that your name is written in heaven. In the past few months, or a couple months ago, really, there was an announcement from the U.S. Treasury Department, and I forgot my Bible in my office. I had a $20 bill. There's a little bit of a, might call it controversy. There's an announcement that the picture on the $20 bill is going to be changing soon. Anybody remember that announcement? Who occupies the $20 bill now? Andrew Jackson. And anybody know who's going to be occupying it soon? Harry Tubman. Yeah, and some people, like most things, people get upset about everything. Yeah. But I think that story actually tells us a bit about the story with Jesus. So Harriet Tubman was born a slave in Maryland. And the land of the free was not so free to her at that time. She escaped slavery, and for her, that wasn't enough. It wasn't enough just for her to escape. She then, because she was a devout Christian woman, kept returning to the South in the name of Jesus, risking her life every single time to help hundreds of other slaves escape through the Underground Railroad. And she helped so many escape that she got the nickname Moses. And when she finally died, her last recorded words weren't her words. Her last recorded words were from Jesus. John 14, Jesus says to his disciples, I go to prepare a place for you. She kept the main thing. Now, the other guy who's on the bill now, Andrew Jackson, was a slave owner who had many Native Americans forcibly removed from their homes. And he's famous for enacting what's called the Trail of Tears, where many Cherokee, who, by the way, helped save his life earlier, were then evicted from their lands via the Indian Removal Act. So if you ask me personally, would I rather have a racist, discriminatory president with Native American blood on their hands on the $20 bill, or a devout Christian woman who worked tirelessly with every breath for the freedom of others? Personally, that's a no-brainer to me. She is someone who endured hardship and suffering, but kept rejoicing even to her last breath that the one thing that could never be taken away was the one thing that mattered most, Jesus. Yes, Jesus wants you to be thankful for all the gifts he gives you, but to always remember the real reason to rejoice deep down. Your true citizenship, your true identity, and your real reason to rejoice is that your name is written in heaven. It's as if God picked up the pen, dipped it in the blood of Jesus, poured out for you on the cross, and wrote your full name into the guest book of eternity. And when God writes your name there, it can never be erased. So this weekend, I'm glad you're here to worship. And I hope the rest of the weekend you can enjoy your bratwurst, your baked beans, baseball, beer, whatever else starts with B that you can think of. Enjoy it. And thank God that you live in this city, in this country, in this place. And thank God for all the blessings that he has given you. But also remember the real reason to rejoice, and that is that your name is written in heaven. Amen.